Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Loans and microfinance companies not convinced of latest assurance of their severance packages by the receiver to be given to them. Well, coming up next is a Joy Sports Track. Today we hear from Sule Ali Montari. The footballer is still active and speaks about football and COVID-19. Also touches on Ghana, looks back at working with Jose Mourinho, and also casts an eye on where his career is headed. It's a Joy Sports Track right after this commercial. Just stay.
As we continue to fight COVID-19 together, Ecobank offers you several ways to stay home, stay safe, and take control of your finances. Use Ecobank Mobile whenever, wherever, with or without an Ecobank account to send money through SMS and email. Also buy airtime, pay bills, and much more from the comfort of your home. For high-value transactions, use our internet banking services. Ecobank QR code enables you to make cashless digital payments when paying for goods and services. Download the Ecobank Mobile today from the Google Play Store, App Store, or from our Facebook page. Additionally, dial the short code *770# from any phone and start transacting. Ecobank cares. Remember to observe social distancing, wash your hands frequently, and don't touch your face. For further assistance, kindly call Ecobank Contact Center on 3225 anytime, any day, toll free. Stay home, stay safe. Ecobank, the Pan-African Bank.
Welcome to another edition of the Joy Sports Track on this Monday afternoon. I'm Gary L. Smith, and thank you for joining me. Today, we have an interview. The Black Stars have over the years produced the cream of the crop of African football, even if they have not been able to win a trophy. Among the noted generation in the last 12 years is that group that failed at the 2006 Africa Cup of Nations, but then went on to make history multiple times at the World Cup in Germany, and then 4 years later here in Africa, in South Africa. And they will go down as one of the most exciting Ghanaian sides in generations. A key figure among that group was one Sule. Yes, Sule Ali Montari. The man himself has done it all, whether it was winning the UEFA Champions League with Inter Milan under Jose Mourinho, or winning the Serie A, the Coppa Italia, or the Club World Cup. And that's not all. He also happens to hold the FA Cup winner's medal with Portsmouth. He's a veteran of over 80 caps for his country, 2 AFCON tournaments, and 3 FIFA World Cups. The man from Konongo, Ashanti, spoke to friend of Joy FM and our colleague, Robert Marawa, on SABC a couple of days ago. They've been kind to give us permission to rebroadcast pertinent sections of that interview where he touches on Ghana football, of course, playing under Jose Mourinho, demystifying some of the myths around Jose Mourinho, COVID-19, and also his future, and wanting to play again in South Africa. First, though, he starts on a familiar topic. What is he doing, and how is he experiencing life after or during COVID-19?
we can't complain. It's been good. Of course, the COVID has done a lot of harm to the world, but we are very aware of the bad virus that's around. But then still, we still train. I still train. We're in lockdown, but I still go out to train, risk to work, and then come back home. So when the thing started, I flew back to Ghana. Mm-hmm. I was in Ghana, but I flew back to Ghana, so I'm here training now. Yeah.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful stuff. And let's chat about your journey. Let's talk about all the great things. Let's live the memory. As you know, it's 10 years since the FIFA World Cup was staged right here in South Africa. And I'm sure there's a lot to be said about that. Also, some great goals that you've managed to score. I remember against Uruguay.
Into the path of Montari. So much impetus and momentum now. Montari gets a goal and scores!
We're talking about the element of surprise. The goalkeeper just does not expect this. Just doesn't think that Sonny Montari is going to have a crack. It's a ridiculous distance once he just picks the ball out. Gets it back on his left foot, his favourite foot. Arevalo's a bit lax, isn't he? He should be closing him down. Got great bend on it. But the goalkeeper, watch Muslera, he's taking a step to the right. Now he can't get back. What a strike.
It's the last act of a first half that has got better and better and better for Ghana. Only the second goal that Uruguay conceded at these finals. It was a memorable goal for Sonny Montari, and it has lifted Ghana to within a sight, a glimpse of the World Cup semi-finals. Half time here, Uruguay 0, Ghana 1.
Yeah, of course, I get a goosebump, but then it was a good memory. Apart from the game, it was in South Africa, and then we had an amazing time over there. Mm-hmm. It just felt like home because we had the whole continent behind us, and then mostly we were just home. So it was an amazing feeling.
Did you get a sense though that Africa was well represented in that World Cup? I mean, you were there as a participant and one that did so well and one that came so close to going all the way through as far as the World Cup is concerned. Did you feel that Africa was well represented in that World Cup?
Yeah, it was. A lot of them outside people, different, none of them knew that Africa was amazing like that. They came. And especially, it was held in Africa, South Africa, and so they thought African like the continent was different. But when they came to South Africa, South Africa is just crazy beautiful. The atmosphere, the people, the landmark, everything, it's just totally beautiful. So I think it was perfect. It was perfect time also. And then was the late Nelson Mandela was there also. So the occasion was just the perfect time and the right time for it to happen. And then it was beautiful done.
And then talking about South Africa, I don't know if it's true though, Sully. You'll help me with these. I hate rumors. I like people to always verify these things. There were reports as well that have been going around the past week, even saying that you could possibly come down to South Africa to come play for one of the big teams. Yeah, how true is that?
I haven't thought about that in because I spoke to an agent. He gave me a call. I forgot his name. I don't know how to pronounce his name though, but yeah. I spoke to one agent, and then he told me, I said, listen, my brother, I'm not ready to go anywhere because I just want to stay home and fix and do my businesses and all those things. I haven't even thought of going out, but I love to come play in South Africa because they have great teams that I like. For instance, Sundowns are there, Pirates are there, but my favorite one is Chiefs, because I don't know why, but I've been following Chiefs for a minute now. I love the way they are and everything. So I said, if I'm going to come to South Africa, this is the only team I want to play, that's Chiefs. And but with all due respect to Pirates and Sundowns and the other teams that are in South African League, of course, this is what I prefer to come play. So that's how I spoke to the agent. That's it. And then I haven't said anything anymore. So, but why not? It's home. I'm here in Ghana. It's home. South Africa can be home. Any part in Africa can be home. But it would be good to come, but I haven't made my mind yet.
How long are you giving yourself time to make that big decision? And I'm sure you're right. I mean, Sully, we'll be here. Whatever team you get to play for, South Africans will be so proud to have somebody who has had an illustrious career like you coming through, maybe to wrap up his career playing for a big team like Kaizer Chiefs, which is your number one choice. I mean, how much time have you given yourself to make that decision?
Exactly. I don't know. I haven't, because, and now I need to also discuss it with the family, because now I have little 2 kids, so me being around them is important to see their growth. So also I have one boy that is 5 that he has to go to school and everything. So I need to discuss with the missus. She's there and first they make the decision. So but then. I've been here at home and since the lockdown, I've been training, going out and training all the time. So I haven't made my mind yet to be frank with you, brother. So I really don't know yet.
I mean, it's amazing. We'll keep in touch. We'll get to hear what your decision is. South Africa is waiting, man. We'll roll out the red carpet for you. And you've got a home, like you said. It's on the continent.
With no carpet, that's all right. With no carpet, that's all right. If he's better happy, it's good. Because it's going to be a privilege coming back. It's like coming back
homecoming
to where, yes, you see where the beauty is. And I've been following South African League. It's really, really, actually good. Like the stadiums, the players, and everything that they do. It's better than some European countries, a lot of it. So it's I don't know what your FA or what your people are doing, but I think they're doing an amazing job for their football federation over there. So I think every country, or every African country, if they take a look at South African League and how they work, definitely is gonna help the continent. And then I think very, very soon, with little bit of the help together, definitely the World Cup is going to come to Africa one day.
Oh, beautiful. I mean, I love the sound of that. And thank you so much. A lot of hard work has gone into professionalizing South African football, commercializing it, making it into a brand, getting it onto television that is shown not only just in South Africa, but across the African continent, as well as parts of Europe. So that speaks volumes to the kind of work that has been done here. And you're absolutely right. I mean, it's world-class stadia right across the country. Yeah. We got a couple of questions that came through via, you know, WhatsApp and emails, and we got Facebook, we got Twitter, with a lot of people who are number one fans of yours. Mabu Leng says, Dinaka was saying that, please ask Sully how he managed to work with a well-known disciplinarian like Jose Mourinho when he was always followed by issues of ill discipline in his career, more especially when he was in the national team. How did it feel having to warm the bench in his first 2 2010 World Cup games when he was a triple winning midfielder heading into that spectacle? Yeah, first up, I mean, how was it working with Jose?
Yeah, it was amazing. It was amazing. We still keep in touch as I speak with you. We have a chat group that the squad that won the triple in Milan. So we keep in touch. It was amazing around him. He's very, very principled man. And he's an amazing coach. He tells you, listen, I need players that are ready. I need men. So he gives you all the attention. He gives you all the power in order to perform. He doesn't accept if you are not in good shape. You should be in good shape the whole year. So that's what he gets with his players, and everybody is loyal to him because he is loyal and he's very, very amazing.
Sure. I mean, do you buy into the notion though of the fact that he's a very defensive minded kind of coach? You know that we heard people talk about Tottenham Hotspur and how difficult it is to watch them, and they're not such a joy to watch anymore because he wants the players to be very defensive. There's not much of a pattern, and yet he's such a successful coach though, Sully, when you look at his track record. Do you buy into that criticism that people pour into Jose Mourinho?
I really don't buy it, because I know who we're talking about here. He's amazing. He's a leader. He coaches that team. Of course, you need to obey with whatever your coach tells you, right? And then that's what he wants from his side. So if he wants men to play, he wants them to defend in certain ways, they have to do it that way. Every coach has his style of play. Everyone has the way he wants his team to play. So that's the way he wants his team to play. That's his problem, and that's his choice. And also, let's say for instance, when he was our coach, this guy is just, he didn't even say anything because we knew what we wanted. We knew where we wanted to be. We knew the trophies that we wanted to win. So it started from one, and then we did second, and then the third came. I bet you if he didn't go to Madrid, we could have won everything the following year again, because we were so determined and so perfect, and our mind was so set, and we were just incredible. We had Eto'o in front with Milito and Wesley. So it's just sometimes when you get those amazing players, and then you have a good season with great coach, so everything just falls in place. That's it. But I wish him great luck, that he should like come back, start winning trophies, and then people will start, like, no matter what you do it right, people will say it, that he's amazing, you know. And then the following day, if you don't do it right, people will to talk about it. So we're just human. It's part of our nature. You get me?
Who do you say has been the greatest manager, though, Sully, that you've worked with throughout your entire and highly successful and illustrious career?
I had a lot. He's one, but I have, because when I was in Udinese, right, I had one manager that he's called Spalletti. Luciano Spalletti. We spent a bit of time together, so he managed to teach me the way to play, where before the ball comes, whatever I have to do. So I had time to learn from him. I had so much time to learn from him. So I would say him. But then with Mourinho, he just wants you ready, because he's not there. Because every team that he coaches, or where I went, it's Inter Milan. Inter Milan, you, of course, you learn something, but you don't have time, because you play league, and then cup match, and then Champions League. So there's no time for you to be on the pitch and learn. You get me? Mm-hmm. But when I was in Udinese, we had like 7 days or 6 days or 5 days to learn, and then we have only one game. You get me? So then you have time to learn and listen. But before I get to Mourinho, I've already established myself, let's say, but I was ready a bit. So when I got there, I was still learning, and then it got better and better.
It's been an amazing journey, man. I was watching a couple of your clips even yesterday, and some of the great goals that you score. I mean, hey, Sully, you've scored some incredible stuff. I don't even know if you know what your greatest goal has ever been in your career. But let's listen into a couple of voice notes, though, that have come through. A lot of our listeners across South Africa excited to hear your voice, and let's hear what they say.
All right.
Good evening, Rob and your guests at Montari. It's Mishini from Pretoria. I just wanted to ask what will be Sully Montari's advice to upcoming players and African players that want to play that trade in Europe, given that he has been there like for several years playing in elite leagues, and what has been actually his highlights actually playing in those leagues, and actually does he have any favorite team in Africa? Thank you.
Roberto, Roberto, why should Babu scream? I remember Sully Ali Montari, his goals, when he used to score and then he ran to the camera and then do his dance with the likes of Asamoah Gyan. And he always scores special long-range shots. Man, good player. If we are being played by Jose Mourinho, we know the story. Good to hear him on the radio. This is Nkosiku Nenekwa Ekwa Mashumi Yamana Road.
Hey, Darob. We are so privileged to have Usoli on your show. Like, this guy has worked so much. He's one of the most player that I've seen that is so dedicated. Maga Chala Ibon, I understand. Yeah, I remember in 2010, like the guy was on fire. The best is number three ever. Please ask Uso Uluguchi, is he still singing? Is there a singer or what? Because I've seen so much of his video with band and everything. Is he a singer or what? We need album, Baba.
Hey, are you a singer or what? I mean, there's lots of those voice notes that are coming through as well. Maybe let's start with that. Is there a love for singing on your part?
Who, me?
Yeah.
No. I don't sing. I only play football. That's what God has given me. So, and I keep that one.
Great one. I mean, there was one that talked about your great celebration dance that you would do, Asamoah Gyan. I mean, another great African and a Ghanaian and a player that we spoke to last week on this show. The first one had to do with about advice to African players. Maybe keep that in mind, Sully, because I'm going to quickly just break away. It is top of the hour. We just need to get into our news bulletin and find out what is happening in and around the world. So we'll keep that top of mind and we'll come back. So Sully Montari is my guest. After the news, we'll have our conversation as well with him. So those voice notes that are coming through, messages that are coming through on Facebook as well.
Wow, Marawa. You are having a legend here by the name of Sully Montari. You know, I still remember about the World Cup. I mean, he had a wonderful World Cup. What a player he is. You know, that left foot is out of this world, you know. Best player, in my opinion, in that Ghana squad of 2010. One of my favorites, you know. I was speaking to Ben from Carltonville.
Evening, Mr. Marawa. It's the police here in Port Elizabeth. Hey, Mr. Marawa, you're speaking to one of my favorite soccer player in Ghana. That is Sully Montari. You know this guy? I like this guy a lot. During his days when he was playing for Inter Milan. Yeah, I like this guy a lot. This guy with his celebration. When he scores a goal, he goes to the corner and celebrates. You know that jiving style with his mouth. Yeah, Sully Montari, I like you, man. You have just disappointed me now, anyway. Just talking about the Kaiser Chiefs. And now, Sully Montari, I think now you're going to the wrong way now. Sorry, man.
Hey, Bra Rob. Yeah, ke Fabregas nele ka Molephalale, ne? We so happy. Like,
I even have goosebumps. Like, this guy has been working so hard for his career. The best player in Africa. The best just number three ever. This guy, like, I love him. Ghana has done so much in his presence. Like, he deserves, like, Obamosho Inyeki. And, like, Darop, you're doing the great job, Baba. Please ask the guy if he ever is a singer or what. Because this guy, I've seen him, like, singing or stuff. Is he planning to be a singer in future? Yeah, I give Fabregas Neleka Malpalale.
Good evening, Darop. Good evening, Darop. Can you please ask him, Baba Solo, does he have a son? Does he like football? Because when he retire, I want to see his son playing football. Please, Darop, please tell him and ask him, does he have a son? Does he like football? Thanks, Darop. Isaac Yen, Kailisha, Cape Town, thank you, Darop. Bye.
Yeah, good evening, Rob, man. Can you ask Solomon Tara, man, where is that guy he used to play with him? Jersey number 10, Steven, up here, what they doing? And also, I did have the article, they say Solomon Tara racist problem. There, I think they're in Italy. Just asking how they, what went wrong there on that racist issue there? Let's see if we're towards Cape Town. Thank you, Robbie.
Good evening, Rob, Brawili from Braamfontein. And good evening to Sulire, jersey number 11. My question is simple. What is it with the Ghana national team and the jersey number 11 with the left-footed player? He knows his successor. A brilliant player as well, Abubakar. So what is actually it with that left, linky left-footed players on that jersey number 11? I love those Ghanaians, man. Cheers, bye.
Oh, so plenty of love being shown by South Africans there to Solomon Tari. He is my guest coming through live from Ghana. Sully, thank you so much for your patience, my friend. I really appreciate you. And I'm sure listening to those voice notes, you get a sense of how much South Africans appreciate you. What's your response?
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, someone said again, that I think he's referring to Asamoah. Asamoah is the one that does all the time and dances. Yeah. But it's super, super nice to feel people, to remember. It's not people, it's our own people. It's my own people. Yeah. Africa is where I'm from. And especially South Africa, we had super great time. 2010, and we played a couple of games with Bafana also, and I personally had amazing time meeting Madiba also when he was alive. So it just all come together to make it really special. So I really appreciate it.
There was one voice note, Sully, that spoke about your, if you have a son and if you would want him to play football.
Yeah, I have a son. I have a 5-year-old son. He turned 5 yesterday.
Happy birthday to him.
Yeah, thank you very much. Of course, if he wants to play, definitely I'm going to support him to play. But if the most important thing now that he has to focus on is school. So school is very, very, very important. And then after, if he picks the hobby of playing football, that would be amazing too. But his mom, she said she can't go through that trauma anymore, because when I get hit, she gets really frustrated, and now her own like baby from her own stomach, like she's not gonna be able to take it. But yes, but if he chooses that part, I'll part. But then I can't force him to do what I want. He has to do what he wants. So then I support.
Oh, beautiful. I think that's that's really a fair approach as well. There was a question again around another Ghanaian that I strongly am in so much awe and respect for, which is Stephen Appiah, basically asking, you know, where is he? Are you in touch with him? And how is he doing?
Yeah, Stephen is doing good. He lives 10 minutes from where I live. We used to play together sometimes before the COVID started. So we're not training together anymore. But he's around. Steven has been he was amazing captain for us. Amazing figure, because he played for at that time all the time that we were in the national team. He played for Juventus, Fenerbahce, and all those big teams. But it was so down to it. He managed to bring us together. We formed a great midfield together with him, Lai and Michael. So and then yeah. So it was amazing time with him, because it was always respect on the pitch and out of the pitch. So it was great to have a leader like him, you know. So and then after he passed the captainship to John Benson, was great too. So I was really lucky to have some cool people around during the national team with them. But Steven is there. He's always there trying to play football. Yeah,
I know. He's probably one of the fittest human beings, even, you know, post playing football. I'm sure he still rocks his six pack there. A very proud health fanatic, really, and a great son of the soil. And I think we all love what he's been able to do with his career. Right, I'm chatting to Suleiman Tari. He is a gentleman in an illustrious career playing at Udinese, a great time as well at Portsmouth, Inter. Winning trophies has been his motto right throughout his entire career. Went to play again in Sunderland. You know, there was a time when he played as well for Deportivo La Coruña. We're chatting to him, and there was a question which I suppose in 2020, Sully, is also very important, something that has rocked the world, really, and that has to do with racism. You being in Italy as well, you would have faced it head on. There were incidents that I can recall as well where you would have been in the face of it. You were in the front of, you know, racists who were saying and doing things in your presence. What is your take, though? I mean, what were those experiences like from a human perspective?
Yeah, but it's not a good feeling. Where we are now, we all won. It doesn't matter your color, if you're black, white, green, yellow. We are human beings. We have same blood running through us. If there's white person around me in Africa or wherever, I'm not gonna hate the person because of his skin color. He's me. I'm him. We have heart. We were created by the same God. Get me? So there shouldn't be any hate like that. Plus, if we are educating or we are showing this to the young generation, which kind of world are we setting up for them? Mm. Which kind of world are we living for them? So it's going to be like that forever if we don't change it. So when I was playing and then I felt that, I just walked out of the pitch. But they thought that they won. No, I was the one who won. Only me. I take everything. So whenever you encounter that kind of situation, you just walk out of it, and we just have to come together to fight it. Plus, if FIFA or whatever, whoever is fighting on it, you need to really, really fight it. You just don't have to do it and then back off, because it doesn't go from one, from two. It's a lot of occasion that this has happened. Get me? So if you want to work on it, you want to brush it away, what do? You fight it. You make sure that it's out. So why do people get like, why do you arrest a criminal? Why do you arrest some people? You arrest them because you don't want them to make it big. You don't want them to continue their crime, right? So exactly. Mm-hmm. That's the way you can fight racism. So you fight with all the force that you have. For instance, let's say, because now, when you play football, before when we score goals, you don't see them because they say there's no technology. You don't see them. There's no bar. But then they want to see goals, and then they want the goals that you don't see them. So now they invested in bar, right? So that they even if someone kicks someone, they can come back and give the person a red card, or they can come back and say that it's a goal or not. You get me? So why don't you put that same energy in racism? So that's where I don't get it, but we still fight it. I would still educate my kids how it is. So that I think that's the only contribution I can make. I teach my kids how to respect all colors and all humans, because we are all the same. So if I do that, I think I've done my part. So when they go out there, they're not gonna bully people with their color or whatsoever. So that's it. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, and I've got to commend you though for being such a strong ambassador and a voice for Africa, Sully, because maybe many times we don't celebrate people like yourself. Do know that while we are down here in South Africa, we have watched you play every single minute and every single hour, wherever you've been, and you've been a strong voice when it comes to the fight of putting the African child in the forefront of the world. And you've been straightforward. The one thing that I've always liked about you is you don't take any nonsense. It doesn't matter who you are. You tell it like it is. And when it comes to racism, you've been firm and you've told it as it is. And I salute you for that. And maybe sometimes you don't tell you that. And I just want to do it publicly right now in front of the entire South African population that's listening to the show right now, that you are a true ambassador that really has done more than your call of duty in putting forward the dreams of an African child. So well done on that front.
Thank you very much. A lot of people have done a lot for us.
Yeah.
Let's put Madiba. He has done lots for the world. Now that we walk certain part of the world that we walk freely, he sacrificed himself for us. He sacrificed his time. He went to jail. He sacrificed his blood, his tears and everything for us. You get me? So he made us got what we have today. So there it's not that we have all the time that we say angels are in heaven and bad and evil are somewhere. No. We have angels here with us too. And he was one. He was one who did all for us. You get me? So if we have the privilege of little thing that we can help each other, why don't we do it? Why do we have to be afraid of humans? We don't. We obey God, what God says, and everything that we do, because he's the one who created us. But then human, you get scared of saying things to human too? No, that's not it. Mm. Of course, violence is not good and things are not good, but we need to speak up, because in this world, nobody lives here. We are the people who live in this world, so we have to make it a better place for us. When we're gone, our kids will take over. So that's how it's supposed to be, brother.
Absolutely. No, I agree with you. We've got Fresh from Fos La Rosa. I hope you're still on the line. Fresh, good evening. Thanks for your patience.
Good evening. How are you doing?
I'm very good, thanks, man. Solizia, go ahead.
Yes, Suli, how are you?
I'm fine, Fresh. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks, man. I just have a question for you guys. I think maybe it's a question for the whole of Ghana. You know, we've been following Ghanaians for quite some time now. I mean, my favorite player was Steven Appiah, and you guys have always
good
been
choice.
Consistent. You guys have always been consistent in terms of not only performing on the national team, but even on the international front, in terms of the best league that you guys have played in. So how do you guys do it? Currently now we have the Ayew brothers. They are also doing well in Europe. How do you guys do it on a continuous basis? How do you continue producing players that do well on the international front? Thank you.
Thank you so much. Great question, Sully.
Yeah, I think it's just the dedication. It's the dedication, and then people that you see that came before you. For instance, he was mentioning the Ayew brothers now. Of course,
yeah.
Look at their father, what their father did during his time. I saw him playing just a little, not a lot. Abitbile was just super amazing. He was out of this world. And then King, Steven Appiah, and then Michael. So, you know, when you come closer to these people, when you play alongside them, you learn a lot from them. Even though you're playing the same field with them, you're sharing the same bus with them and everything, but then you have them at the national team. So you learn a lot from them, and then your football becomes so not easy, but becomes like normal for you because you have good players around you. Then when you go back to the club side, you have players like Materazzi, you have players like Samuel Eto'o, which is the all-time best African player, great human being, and the way he talks to you, he takes you like his own self. So you learn a lot from them also. And then you have Luis Figo, you have Vieira that you play alongside with, you have Zanetti that he's there, and then you have Seedorf and Nesta. So it's just combined together, you know? And then also it has to apply to you, like the player, because you need to be focused. You can have all those players, but if you're not focused and respectful and have that desire that you want to work, you want to play, you won't be able to do it. But then if you put yourself in a good way, the training is important, sleeping, your rest, your dedication during training and everything, definitely you're going to make it because you're around amazing people, amazing players, and then you have to play games, big games, like with Madrid, with Barcelona, with all those big clubs and all those things. Plus, after when you play with players like I played when I was in Udinese, I played with Senior Bonga Novente, and he was just out of this world. His speed was crazy, and then you watch McCarthy play. He was playing for Porto. He did amazing. And then you watch Mark Fish was there. And then you watch Quinton Fortune, who was playing for Manchester United. And then Steven Pienaar. You know, it was just full of great talent in Africa and everywhere. So we were just happy and privileged to see to have those people in front of us. So we learn from them, and then we take those steps and go forward. So I think that was it.
Oh man, absolutely. When are you coming down, man? We must get you down here. There's so much to talk about this career of yours, Sully. I mean, I wanted to chat, you know, go deep into the religious side of you, the beautiful work that your wife's charity foundation has been able to do. I mean, over what, 500 right. children been given access to education that you've made possible through the foundation itself. And, you know, there's so much good. At times, you know, when people criticize, I always say, guys, listen, you know, give a person an opportunity, dig deep, you'll find good that they've done. And I think you've led in that, and we've got to salute you for that.
Thank you very much. Sometimes people sit back and hear what someone says, and then they jump into conclusion. You just don't judge people by what you hear or what you feel. You get me? You need to get closer to them. And what I learned is that whenever you want to say the truth or whatever you want right for people, you get painted in bad ways. You get pulled back, and you get a lot of backlash that is not good. But if you know in your space whatever good thing that you do, not for yourself, but for the world and for Allah, for God, you're not scared. You're not bothered. You just do it right, and you go. And you were just talking about charity that my wife, she does. She's just amazing. I don't even know how she does it. And she just cater for these kids, and now most of them are in the university, which is amazing. She took them from nowhere, and then they are in university. So we all come together. Plus you, that now that you're interviewing me, now you're making my voice out there so people can hear it, and somebody maybe can help someone. And I'm sure that you have done a lot because your voice is out there. Probably someone is sick, not sick, but someone is depressed But whatever you say, with your platform that you have changed a lot of lives, but you don't know. So Allah God is going to continue to bless whatever you guys do over there and whatever good things that you do. So he continue blessing you so you can continue to change people's life. It's not only me. It's not only people that do that you see. Some people do it, but you don't see. But it's important that we help each other. So.
Charlie, I'm hot.
Oh,
me hot can come rough.
Ah, they man like you, man. Why?
That damned radio show is coming back to Joy FM.
Yeah?
Corruption Watch or whatever they call it.
Yeah, but I mean that show is good for Ghana, huh?
Good for Ghana.
Yeah.
Ah, you're not correct there.
Oh,
how do you think I make all this money?
Huh?
You see, for people like me, who depend on kickbacks and shady deals, you know. Let me tell you something. Corruption Watch is bad for business.
I see.
Get ready for more fire on Corruption Watch. Join us as we expose corruption, give a voice to the victims, and put pressure on authorities for the culprits to be punished. Yes. The Corruption Watch Show is back on Joy 99.7 FM starting Wednesday, July 8th at 8:45 a.m. Corruption Watch is funded by Danida, and the partners for the project are CDD Ghana, GACC, GII, Asila, Joy FM, and Adum FM. Tune in and find out how you can join in the fight against corruption.
Until the lions have their own historians, the tales of hunting would always glorify the hunter. I am Nana Nsakwa IV. Every Monday at 7 p.m., that's Mondays at 7 p.m., I bring you a show I call That's My Opinion on Joy 99.7 FM. It's thought-provoking, it's entertaining, it's informative, and above all, it's about us. On That's My Opinion, the rules are simple. You may agree with me or disagree, but we do it agreeably. Mondays at 7 p.m. will not be the same again because Ahumudo, Sahumudo, Mitensheni.
The world is constantly on the go because there are men and women who make it move. Story. Insights and perspectives that move you from thought to action. Hi, I'm Inshira Adam, and I bring you the Business Thought Leadership Show, Executive Lounge, every Tuesday at 1:05 p.m. on Joy 99.7 FM. Tune in and join the conversation every Tuesday at 1:05 p.m. on Joy 99.7 FM. The Executive Lounge, inspiring a new future.
It's almost impossible to live a life without technology. From cell phones and cameras, gizmos and gadgets, to apps and artificial intelligence, technology is being used to improve every aspect of our lives. Hi, my name is Kwabena Nkrumah, and I'm excited about our new tech show here on Joy 99.7 FM. It's called Geek Squad. Geek Squad makes technology cool and easy to grasp no matter how young or old you may be. Geek Squad will keep you constantly updated on the very latest tech trends and transform you from a casual user to a practical and intimate handler of technology. Join us every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on Joy FM as we break down the technology and bring it closer to home. Geek Squad, technology made simple.
And other educational programs on Joy Learning, test the JL to short code 947 and receive the SMS alert for only 15 passwords. Joy Learning, keep learning.
Songs from GH and beyond, right here on Joy 99.7 FM. We call it the Late Night Express. Yes, love finally has a home with me, George Quay, right here on Joy. It is the Late Night Express. Tune in. Thank me later.
Oh,
Sama Hijoy Azee.